And it's my privilege to be here.
Thank you so very much for allowing us to come. Andy Hilton took me on a little tour. It was last year we were at homeschool week, and you know, mountaintop is on the top of a mountain. And the only flat place, well, there's not too many flat places there. Yesterday, I saw for the first time that swimming pool. I've never seen anything like that. That's the coolest pool I've ever seen. And I understand that the inspectors, they go take their prospect inspectors to look at that pool. Because it's just so unique. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, you've got to go to Mountaintop. But also, I think that whoever did this work on the pavilion or the lodge, unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable work. Fantastic. The work that was done on that metal roof, the beautiful tongue and groove above the dropped ceiling stuff that they removed, and then found this beautiful tongue and groove. And then they enhanced it, they sanded it, they stained it, they replaced some boards, I couldn't tell, and just unbelievable, just fantastic. So praise God for that. And one of the fellas from Reedsville was there putting some stone up today, and just incredible job. I heard that somebody from Shannon Hills here, that they ministered to that somehow, and I just praise God for that. I think that the bottom line, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. That's why Mountaintop is in existence, amen? So, I mean, that's why it's in it, so people can get saved. And I think the kids will understand, will appreciate that more and listen to the message and believe on the Savior. And so it's well worth the effort, absolutely well worth the effort, not just for the sake of a nice building, but that those kids can come to Christ. And that's the real issue, isn't it? I was at Moody Bible Institute a number of years ago. It was exactly April 19th, 2007, to be exact. And the Ezekiel Project and myself were ministering to some students at Moody Bible Institute and sharing about open-air evangelism, etc. And I just, it was just really good to try to take some of those students out in the open air in Chicago, etc. And when I was a student there, we went in the open air frequently with our sketchboards and gospel magic and that kind of thing. And so to go back there and to minister with them was just a real treat. So we were training a little bit in that. And I got a phone call on my cell phone. How we live without cell phones, I don't know. But some of the older senior saints, you know, you're going, cell phones, yeah, I hate them. But it feels like we're naked without them now. It's just so weird, especially the smartphones. And so I get a phone call. And this young girl calls me is over the phone, and she's talking to me, and she's 19 years of age, and she's starting to say to me, she's asking me this question. I'm thinking that she's a student at Moody Bible Institute. She's not. She's calling me from Michigan. I'm in Chicago. She's calling me from Michigan, where I live, in that area. She goes, Chris, I just want to ask you this question. She says, I'm 19, I'm having a very difficult time. How do you keep the Christian life going? How do you do it? She says, my life is like dry as toast. I'm having a very difficult time. How do you keep it going? I thought that was a good question. Because many of us may not admit it to other people, to other Christians, but you might be sitting here this evening and thinking that very thing. How do you keep this going? Despair might be creeping into your heart. You might be feeling like, you know, how do I keep this Christian life going? Temptation might be trying to overwhelm you. You might feel like, I just can't do this anymore. You ever feel like that? You don't have to nod. Please don't. But you ever feel like that? This young lady did, and she was crying out and asking for help. So we talked about an hour and a half. And then I thought to myself, you know, that's if this young lady's feeling that way, I bet you other people are feeling that way too. How do you keep it going? And I think it's a good question. And I want to give, a good answer, because I think the Bible gives us four characteristics that a Christian must have in his or her life in order to be faithful, in order to keep it going, in order to have that faithfulness in our lives. And I'd like us to jump off with this little talk this evening with 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you don't mind. It's a very famous verse, a very familiar verse, but I'd like us to look at this verse is a jump-off. We're going all over the place tonight. That used to frustrate my father big time. My dad got saved at the age of 59, and combat veteran, World War II, all this kind of thing. And when he got saved at 59, he didn't know the books of the Bible. He wasn't even singing them. You know, he didn't even know the song. You know, Genesis, Exodus, didn't do that. He had to have these big tabs sticking out of his Bible, you know. And he'd go, when we do like a topical sermon like we're going to do tonight, he'd go, "Can't you just stay in one place?" He'd complain to me. And I understand that. If you're not familiar with the Bible, it's tough to know where you're going. So you can just listen if you want to. But we're going to look at a few verses. We're going to jump off with 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. And you know this verse, I'm sure you do. And it's a passage that you and I have been maybe heard many times, maybe preached on, but it's verse 2. It says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Isn't that amazing? Somebody once said that it's not necessarily ability that is so necessary, that it's stickability that is necessary. And you always admire somebody who's been in the game for a long time, if you please. Somebody's marriage been for 45, 50 years, or, you know, praise God for that, for a long time because they really loved each other. Somebody who's been at a job for 40, 45 years. You like that stickability. It's always amazing to see somebody staying at one thing and continuing at it. Well, we're going to look at this because the Bible gives us four characteristics that the Christian must have in his and her life in order to be faithful, in order to keep it going. What is necessary for me to keep the flame fanned, to keep hot for God? What is necessary? I think, first of all, one of these characteristics, well, the Christian, first of all, must be informed. The Christian must be informed. The old adage, ignorance is bliss, wrong. Not in the Christian life, it's not. No way. No way. Ignorance can be death. Ignorance, and you know the verse in the scripture says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We must be informed Christians. There's a verse that is the theme verse of the Moody Bible Institute, and it's a beautiful verse, and it's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. You know this one, don't you? Because I was here one time, and they had quiz teams from all over the area, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and they quiz. They still do that here? Well, they did it here that time, last time I was in Shannon Hills, and guys were reciting chapters of the Bible. Well, this one verse is a very familiar one to you, I'm sure, and it's, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's a command, by the way. If I look at it from an English grammar point of view, it is a command. It's not a command for the full-time worker. It's not a command or just for the full-time worker. It's not a command for the guy going to seminary or Bible college. It's for you. It's for the Christian. Because the Christian must be informed. If we're going to keep this going, and how do we keep this going? You say, well, I just really want to hear what you have to say about that. What do we need to be informed about, Chris? Well, it's a good question, and we need to be informed about man's condition. Isn't that true? We need to believe what the Bible teaches regarding mankind. Mankind is not getting better according to the Bible. And according, actually, we can flush this out with experiences in the world today. Isn't that true? Just watch the news. All you got to do is watch the news, right? You know that man is not doing well. The men and women blow each other up, kill each other, stab each other, steal from each other, country after country doing these kinds of things. Just unbelievable. Man's condition is wicked. The Bible teaches clearly that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The guy that said that man is basically good, he did not live in New York City. And he did not live in Detroit. And he didn't live in Greensboro. I don't know where he lived. Because when I look at the world and I look at what's going on in the world today, you got to recompute this, because you re-look at it, because man is pretty bad. It's pretty bad. And it's just a horrible thing. There is none righteous, no, not one. I don't care if they went to Harvard, Yale, Princeton, they went to the Ivies, they went to the state schools, they went to community college, they didn't go to college. Doesn't matter. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, do you believe that? Well, if you believe that about yourself, then you know that you can deceive yourself. The man's heart is deceptive. You know, deceitful and also deceptive. Isn't that true? We can deceive our own lives. We can deceive our own minds. That's why we need the Word of God. We need to be informed. We need to be informed that outside these walls, men and women, boys and girls, without Jesus Christ, will spend eternity in the lake of fire. That's what the Bible teaches. I didn't write this. That's what And in fact, the Lord Jesus spoke more about hell than he did heaven. It's absolutely a fact. And so we look at man's condition, and if we were to look at Zechariah, we would see that they're weak, aimless, and lost. Zechariah 12, we look at these individuals and we'd say, man, that's exactly where it is. You've got Shirley MacLaine telling us how to get demon-possessed with channeling and all this kind of stuff and finding hope in everything but Jesus. True? Yes, it is true. It is true. Here in the Bible Belt in the South, it's not as pronounced as it is in New York or Detroit or on a college campus. It's really hard sometimes, you know. People are sympathetic. I've done open air meetings in Chattanooga. I've done it in Atlanta. I've done it in Alabama. Open air kids meetings, and that kind of thing. And these kids know the stuff. They know the lingo type of thing. But I did some open air meetings in Manhattan one time where these kids didn't even know what a Bible was. And that's in America. And it's just amazing to me. So man's condition, we have to look at it, and we can't. I mean, am I in favor of drug addiction? No.